Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson broadcasting from my basement out here in the eastern plains of Colorado during the decline of Western civilization. The breakdown of Christianity in the Western world. Faith, family, and freedom at a premium now. And we engage the war of the worldviews on the very frontier of the Christian West. That is on the eastern side of the Rockies here in the state of Colorado. Steve Vaughn with me today. And friends, persecution on the rise. Persecution of Christians. Well, I'm hearing these stories almost every day. Not in communist China. Not in Nigeria, but the UK, of all places. Persecution of Christians on the increase in the UK, big time. It's kind of surprising. This hasn't happened since Charles II and James II. I'm not sure how many Christians they killed. It would have been in the thousands. But the UK is back to the bad habit of going after Christians. That's happening.
Yeah, it's a bad habit. They don't seem to be able to kick that habit.
No, they're going after Christians, right and left. Anybody who retains something of a Christian worldview, if a pastor says, I believe that Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins, to save us from the sin of homosexuality, adultery, and other sins, they're going to be in big trouble if they say that, at least in the public forum. And Christians who spank their kids in Scotland or Wales will be in prison. I think a one-year prison term for families that spank their kids. They commented that New Zealand also brought in that law, and only about 37 Christians have been identified in New Zealand, and they have apparently served some time, or they were subjected to a fine of some sort. So only about 37 Christians per year persecuted. I don't know if the Christian population is higher than that in New Zealand, but I'm guessing that some are not discovered. But friends, persecution way, way, way up in Wales, Scotland, New Zealand, and the UK. UK Premier Christian News also reports that a Louisiana pastor been barred from using a public facility for a conference in Edinburgh, Scotland. Again, he held a biblical position on sexual perversions, and that got him into trouble. It's Pastor Larry Stockstill from Destiny Ministries. He was scheduled to speak on the subject of pastoring, so he wasn't talking about homosexuality, but because he took a particular position, he is barred from speaking there in Edinburgh. Come a long way from John Knox, I'd say.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, incredible. Also, Franklin Graham, you know, the evangelist. In fact, the premier evangelist in the United States, Franklin Graham, his tour has been canceled at 4 venues so far. I think it's almost the majority of venues for his tour in June of this year. Newport, Wales, also Liverpool, Glasgow, and Sheffield City. Now, he took to Facebook and he offered some words of consolation to those in the UK, and basically just said, hey, you know, all my message is that Jesus loves us and comes to save us from our sins. We're all sinners here, and oh yeah, homosexuality is a sin. Guess which part of that they didn't like?
I would think about the homosexuality, but...
That's it. That's the dig. That's the point at which the modern world says, we don't want that salvation. There's just one little part that they don't like. They don't want to be saved from that sin, you know. When you say, hey, Jesus is good, he's wonderful, he's gracious, he's loving, he's kind, he's come to overcome sin and to save us from our sins, including the sin of homosexuality, you know, they go, no, I just don't want to be saved. I don't want to be saved. That's what they're saying. You know, I am a post-Christian European. I just don't want to be saved. And I don't want you to tell me that Jesus came to save me. And I don't want to be saved from the sin of homosexuality. I don't want to be saved. That's their point. They want to be exempted from the powerful grace of God, killing their sin and making them a new man in Christ. They don't want that. And so I guess that's what gets Franklin Graham in trouble. And I think also just the suggestion that what was characteristically known in the conscience of man, in the history of mankind, and of course in the Christian faith, as one of the most egregious sins ever committed by man, is something that they have embraced. They don't want conscience to be reminded of that. Their conscience still nags them, and they don't want somebody else confirming that. And when somebody confirms it, their conscience confirms it as well, and then they realize that they are subjected to the condemnation of God and hellfire forever and ever for this terrible, egregious, guilty sin before a holy and a righteous God. They just don't want to come to that conclusion. And then secondly, they don't want to run to Christ to save them from this horrible predicament. So those two issues come out, I believe, when it comes to somebody like Franklin Graham saying homosexuality is a sin, but Jesus came to save us from our sins. They just don't want to hear that.
Yeah, because they, you know, if they have to get rid of something that they really like, something that they find enjoyable, and sin does, I mean, have some pleasure to it, and that's why they don't want to give that up. You know, Moses in Hebrews, it said that he counted the sufferings of Christ as more valuable than the pleasures of sin, the temporary pleasures of sin. But if they're thinking that their pleasures are going to last forever and ever, why do I want to be saved from that?
Which, of course, it doesn't work that way, and I think they know that, but they perhaps are self-deceiving themselves. At the end of the day, they just don't want anybody to suggest that God will determine what is right and wrong in an age of outright autonomy, and homosexuality being really the pinnacle of humanist autonomy, man saying, I will make a law for myself and I will do whatever I want to do and no God will tell me what to do. That's the autonomy of the day, and that's been defended by the Supreme Court of the United States and by almost every major government around the world. They have set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, let us cast their cords from us, meaning no God will tie me down by any kind of a moral standard. So there has been this massive humanist autonomy, which makes for the very most fundamental foundational stone in the construct of the modern worldview. And so when you undermine that stone, that's the point at which you will be crucified. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. What should Franklin Graham do, seeing as his venues have been canceled in the UK? What would you do? We'll talk about that next on Generations. Folks, we have an urgent request for you. We are jumping on an opportunity to serve Jesus in one of the most practical and most needful opportunities of a lifetime. Christian families and churches are often looking to get out of their holy huddles and put feet to their faith. What about helping with the Rebuild Bahamas for Jesus project spearheaded by Generations? Is there a contractor in your church who can lead a team for us? Would you like to join another team already planning a trip? Just get to Fort Lauderdale, and it's a 30-minute flight to the Grand Bahama. No big deal. We have the materials, the tools, the accommodations ready to facilitate the next team. And one more question. If you cannot help yourself, you know somebody who can. Check out our website now to join a team or provide your own team. Go to RebuildBahamasForJesus.org. That's RebuildBahamasForJesus.org. And we are back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, commending Franklin Graham for taking the stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ, meaning that he will not exempt anybody from the grace of God in overcoming our sin and saving us from the sin of homosexuality, adultery, lying, or anything else. Indeed, the grace of God is more powerful than our sins, and even those who are intent on denying sin, still the gospel of Jesus Christ is presented to them as well. And Franklin Graham is pressing on. He is continuing his tour. That's the bottom line. He will not be put aside on this. In fact, he's going to go to all these sites as well. If I were Franklin Graham, of course, I would go to Newport, Wales, and Liverpool, Glasgow, Sheffield City, and so forth, and preach there anyway. You preach anyway. Go anyway. Don't back down. Preach in every little tiny church that accepts the message. Preach on the streets. Preach 8 messages a day. Just get out there. Get the message out there, and don't be shut down. That would be my counsel for Franklin Graham.
That may end up actually reaching more people than it does in one big venue, especially if he's going against being kicked out. So that word's going to spread, and people are going to come anyway, the people who want to see him and people who are curious about why he got kicked out and why they've canceled his venues. This may actually be a better thing for his tour in the first place.
Absolutely. And any church with some courage, some guts, and some faith, and love for others, a willingness to lay down their lives for the sake of the gospel, needs to open up their facilities for Franklin Graham and make this the biggest tour ever in the history of the Billy Graham Evangelical Association. Friends, if the gospel message is that important, it's worth getting arrested over. Evangelists like Franklin Graham, they just need to get out there, and they need to warn these post-Christian nations. God has put us in this nation, God has put us in the post-Christian West, and it's time for us to get out there and continue to minister, even if it's the hardest fields in the world. Indeed, it seems to me that the UK and the United States are becoming extremely hard fields that are resistant to the message of repentance. You know, back in the time of Jesus and John the Baptist, they were ministering in very hard fields, too. In fact, they might have been the hardest fields in the history of the world. Hey, they were crucifying the Messiah, and then they were destroyed as a nation in AD 70. These were hard fields. I mean hard fields. You want to talk hard fields? Jesus and John the Baptist were up against some of the hardest fields ever. The Gentiles, the publicans, they were far more open to receive the message of repentance than were the Jews and the Pharisees and Sadducees. Yet, it was Jesus and John the Baptist that brought the toughest, hardest, most direct message to them. So here's the message I think we get from our Lord, as he's dealing with the Jews in a very difficult time, or John the Baptist also. When you get into a community full of post-Christian Anglicans, self-satisfied, rich, moralistic Anglo-Saxon apostates, and post-Christian homosexual churches, what do you do? What do you do when you're standing in the middle of all of that? Well, I think you do exactly what John the Baptist did in Luke 3. Brood of vipers. That's the first thing you say. You stand up in those churches and you say, brood of vipers. Now, I'm guessing that's going to be a turnoff.
You think?
You know, out of the gate. There's a turnoff. But stand up and say it. Just say it. Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Thomas Cranmer as our father. Or we have Martin Luther as our father. Whatever it is. I don't care which denomination it is. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children of Martin Luther from these stones. And even now the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Or here's some words from Jesus in Matthew 15. So what would Franklin Graham say in Liverpool, in Glasgow? What do you say? What do you stand up and say to post-Christian Anglo-Saxons? What do you say? Well, you say exactly what Jesus said. Why do you transgress the commandment of God? Because of your traditions. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me as a gift to God, then he need not honor his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your traditions. Hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. In other words, you go after their autonomy. You go after their pretend law systems, whether it's some kind of an externalistic, fundamentalistic Baptist group, or whether it's those pro-homosexual Anglicans or whatever. Man tends to create for themselves an autonomous system of law and traditions. That's what man does. You go after that, and you point out that they violate the commandments of God. And you call them to repentance and to faith, and you're going to be very unpopular, very unpopular. And yet that's what you do. You stand and you say, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside just full of extortion, self-indulgence. I think he's talking to homosexuals there.
Yeah, that's quite possible.
Hypocrites. He says, you're full of extortion, self-indulgence. That's what you're all about. You pretend like you're some kind of righteous, wonderful, sweet and wonderful gay people. But no, you're full of sin, full of corruption. Blind Pharisees, cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside may be clean also. You are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside you're just full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness, which means you really haven't embraced God's law. You really hate God's law. You don't like God's law. You pretend like you're moral, but you don't like the law of God. Boy, if that isn't the message to preach to this post-Christian age, I don't know what is. Friends, if you say this in Liverpool and Glasgow, they will crucify you for sure. You go back to Matthew 20:15 and 23 and Luke 3, and you preach this kind of stuff in Glasgow, they will crucify you. It's so much easier to preach to cannibals in New Guinea. I get that, but praise God for Franklin Graham's willing to say it and put his whole reputation on the line for the sake of Jesus, laying down his life for the gospel in post-Christian England. That's a good thing.
Yeah, you just got to keep to the message.
Know, Steve, I was thinking about this. If I was ever to go do a home discipleship tour throughout the UK and just get down into the fundamental issues of home discipleship, which is probably one of the most crying needs of the Western world if we're going to disciple nations to do that which Jesus has commanded. If we are going to get down to the basics in discipleship and bringing back something of a generational continuity in this massive generational apostasy, if we're going to bring back home discipleship in the UK, you just can't rent facilities. I think that's the first thing you got to realize. You're not going to be renting facilities in Jerusalem for this. Okay, you're going to be chewing grasshoppers down in the Jordan River with John the Baptist.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying if we go to England, I need chocolate dipped grasshoppers. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, friends, if we're going to do a home discipleship tour through the UK, you're not renting facilities for it. You'd have to do what the underground church does in China. No advertising, social media, that kind of thing. Personal phone calls. Simply asking families to organize small gatherings in private homes in Scotland, Wales, Ireland, England. And I hope to do this someday. I hope if there are families with courage and faith to stand against the zeitgeist and get their kids out of the homosexualized public indoctrination centers and begin to teach a God-centered life and disciple their children in the things of God. If, you know, there's some real serious families intent on discipleship, I'd pay my own fare. I'd walk into England, maybe do a little street preaching if necessary, but really discipling the nations house to house, I think that's the way to go. These days, it seems that we're much more welcome in Asia and Africa than in post-Christian Europe, but you know, Christians need to take a stand. And I think there needs to be some serious discipleship going on in the UK as well as everywhere else. Persecution against real Christians in the UK, I think, is as bad as communist China today, not because of Marx, but because of Gramsci. Gramscians so control the cultural systems, not the political systems, but the cultural systems. And they condition people to respond to cultural shaming. And that's what's going on here, Steve. The homosexuals and the Gramscians have conditioned people to respond to shaming on Facebook and shaming on the part of businesses, you know, who are so afraid to take a stand because they're afraid, you know, 10 homosexuals gang up on them before you know it. You're canceling an event for 1,000 people with Franklin Graham speaking.
Yeah, I mean, Paul, when he went into Ephesus, he didn't rent a big coliseum or a big amphitheater, but he actually got to speak in one after he did do some street preaching, and they ran him into the coliseum and to the amphitheater where he was able to speak to several thousand. So you just preach the message and stay true to the message, and God will take care of your audience. You just got to go.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, don't let these things discourage you for one millisecond. You know, this is so much a paper tiger. This is so much the Wizard of Oz. You know, the guy behind the screen turns out to be this little wizard that's just sitting there in his basement blogging. You know, who is this guy? Forget it. Press on. Don't be intimidated. Christians, stand up, get some courage. Regain a backbone for Jesus and engage. If you can't find a way, make a way by faith and by prayer. Don't let Satan discourage you at all. We need to disciple the nations in spite of all of this opposition. Does generations receive pushback from the bad guys? Just did yesterday one more time. And it set us back, and we're going to have to, you know, put some work into doing some other alternative approaches to some of our media and so forth, because the bad guys got to us, and yeah, they're going to do what they can to injure us and to prevent us from doing our conferences and providing our online services and all the rest. Yes, the bad guys will do their best to tear us down, but we are not going to be intimidated for a microsecond. Why? Because, hey, our Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God is sovereign over all things. And he has given us a task to do. If we pay more attention to these principalities and powers, these minions of Satan, than we do to the living Christ, then shame on us. Shame on us. Whatever happens, we just need to press on. I love what the English cleric said. This was a Anglican bishop said this at the beginning of the 20th century. He said when Paul came to town, when the Apostle Paul came to town, he would get riots and revivals. Whenever I show up, it just serves me tea. And yeah, Steve, I want more riots and revivals. And when Franklin Graham shows up in Liverpool, riots and revivals, that's what we need. Why? Because the message of Jesus is a radical and revolutionary message that challenges the human soul at the most fundamental levels. And if there isn't a little pushback, friends, we're probably not getting to the core message.
Yeah.
Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. Friends, you have been listening to this discussion. If you have any interest in pursuing family discipleship in the UK, just simply email me at host@generations.org. We want to know that there is something of a spiritual life, a family, Christian life going on in Wales, Scotland, Ireland, Britain. Friends, we're looking for some indication of life, and we love to interact with our friends that are still hanging in there in the post-Christian West. I know it takes faith and courage to apply the Full Court Press and to continue discipling the nations and to disciple your children in this environment. But friends, I encourage you to faith and to press on, because eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for us, for those who trust in Him. Be encouraged. Be encouraged this day. This is Kevin Swanson, S.B. Vaughn, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.